Hi there, Buzzkillers. I wanted to say a word about Harry's Razors, our wonderful sponsors, before the show starts. You know, we're so happy that this podcast and the Buzzkill Institute in general is sponsored by Harry's Razors. I've been using Harry's since before they sponsored us, in fact, well over a year. One of the reasons I went to Harry's is that the big rip-off razor companies, they always make a little change in their blades and come out with the, quote, newest version, and they raise their already high prices. Harry's is different. They don't believe in upcharging. They've made their razors better and better and better, and their prices have remained the same. Not only does Harry's charge a fraction of what the ripoff razor companies charge, the Buzzkillers at Harry's mail the razor blades right to you on a regular schedule that you set up with your membership. Their five-blade razors have a very soft flex hinge for a more comfortable glide, and it moves with the contours of your face and you get a closer shave. They have a trimmer blade for hard-to-reach places, lubricating strip, and a nice, fat, textured handle for more control. You can actually hold on to it, and it's not tiny. And of course, when it's wet, it's not going to fall out of your hand. And their prices are still just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more that you're going to pay at the drugstore. Harry's does this, and they can do this, because they own the factory in Germany where they make the blades. Harry's produces the highest quality razors themselves, and they sell them online to you for half the price of the ripoff razor companies. Harry's has a special offer for just you Buzzkillers out there. They'll send you their popular trial set for free when you go to harrys.com. The free trial set comes with a razor, five blade cartridge, and shaving gel. You just pay a tiny amount for shipping. Plus, just for my listeners, just for you Buzzkillers, enter the code BUZZKILL at checkout and get their post-shave balm for free with your order. You know already how much I love the post-shave balm. It's great. Lady Buzzkill likes it. You'll look better and your face will feel better all day when you use it. Your subscription plan is customizable in terms of shipping frequency and other things. And of course, you can cancel at any time. Let me repeat that. Go to harrys.com, harrys.com. Enter the code BUZZKILL at checkout. Lincoln did it. JFK did it. All sorts of good-looking people from the past did it. You'll get a great razor, great blade, shave cream, and of course, the post-shave balm is for free. Do it now. Start enjoying a whole new world of better shaves and more comfortable shaves. You'll look better, your face will thank you, and your bank account will be a lot healthier. Harrys.com, code at checkout is BUZZKILL. And now, here comes that music.
Professor BUZZKILL, Mini-Mix.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans and we fought the bloody British in the town of New Orleans. It's a stirring folk song, especially for those of you Buzzkillers out there of a certain vintage, my age and a little bit older. It was perfect to stoke the patriotic fires of a young nation back in 1814 and to stir the patriotic heart of a young Buzzkiller like yours truly back in the early 60s. But did the Battle of New Orleans really take place after the War of 1812 was technically over, as the legend has it? Well, keep your powder dry, Buzzkillers, because you're about to find out. It's a story you often hear around New Year's, whenever the old folk song, The Battle of New Orleans, made famous by Johnny Horton in 1959, comes on an oldies radio station or a folk radio station, country radio station. The story slash legend goes like this. The Battle of New Orleans was fought in Louisiana between the British and Americans, who were commanded by Major General Andrew Jackson, during January 1915. Little did they know that the war had actually ended when Britain and the United States signed a peace treaty in London on December 4th, 1814. But the pace of transatlantic communication was so slow that the Americans and British fighting in North America didn't find out until February 14th, 1815. Almost a month later, when the ship with the treaty and the news arrived in Washington, D.C. It's a good story that combines the sorrow and pity of a futile battle and lost lives, as well as an object lesson about the importance of clear and swift communication. But it's a myth. The Treaty of Ghent was signed in the Netherlands by representatives of both the British government and the U.S. government on the 24th of December, 1814. But the treaty stipulated that both countries had to ratify it before hostilities would cease. The British Parliament ratified the treaty and King George IV signed it on December 30th, 1814. But this was the age of sail, and certainly was the age before the internet and even before the age of telegraphs. The treaty didn't arrive in Washington, D.C. until February 14, 1815. It was approved unanimously by the Senate on February 16th, and President Madison signed it on the same day. On February 17th, representatives of the two governments exchanged signed copies of the treaty, which brought the war to an end nearly 6 weeks after the Battle of New Orleans. It's still a great song, Buzzkillers. YouTube it or download it from iTunes. And while you're there on iTunes, rate and review us on the podcast section. Good ratings and good reviews help attract sponsors and, of course, help boost the podcast in general. Thanks again. Talk to you next week.